Welcome back to another episode of Nationwide. Today we have a special episode planned for you guys. We're going to be focusing on culture, identity, and purpose. And today's guest embodies all three of these. She's an extraordinary young woman who has done it all. She is a lover of culture and heritage. She is a dance choreographer, a former national footballer, and now a published scientist. Join me in welcoming Nandi Yard to the podcast. Woo. Nandi, thank you so much for joining us here today on Nationwide.
Thank you for the premium gas.
And of course, I have my co-host, Diara, here with me today. And we're going to get right into the episode. Now, Nandi, you are one who is all about culture and heritage, not just for Barbados, but the Caribbean as well as Africa. Where did this love for culture and heritage come from?
I would say that starting with my mother, first of all, naming me Nandi, I was named after an African queen. And so a lot of my upbringing was to emphasize on identifying where you were from, your heritage, so you can understand where you're going and where you're at right now. To live up to the name of Queen Nandi and everything that represents. And so a lot of self-love was taught from a very young age. And as well as the lifestyle of my parents, both of them were artists. So I was always around entertainment. A lot of my uncles and aunties are a lot of popular stars from around Barbados. And so I grew up appreciating the art and what we can contribute to the art and how the art affects us and helps with expression and a lot of different things within your lifestyle, even though you might not directly associate it. And that flourished in a way that it ended up, I would say, paying back to me in several different ways that it took me to places I could never imagine. It's all woven into my fabric.
And you are a cultural practitioner through your dance. What feelings do you have of being given that title, and how do you think you can continue to preserve culture and heritage?
So firstly, I'm honored to be considered a cultural practitioner. I usually would associate those titles with a lot of mentors that passed through my life, and I was able to be in their space and honored to be molded by them, that it took me to a space where very often I am recognized as one of the major soca dancers in the region and by extension the world. And I could never see that coming. I wanted to be a professional dancer. I didn't know exactly how it was going to happen. And then life kind of showed its way of making that happen for me. And to be on this big stage, I just hope to continue to create pathways for many others who would want to follow in this path and see where it can take them.
And you've definitely been a shining star in that aspect. And well, I should have given you a big introduction at the beginning. Like, you do it all, and that segues perfectly into this part, because you are also a footballer. Mm-hmm. And you've played on the national team. You still play for them, or
I will go back to trials.
Okay.
Life has gone a little busy, so I stepped away a little bit. Yeah.
But where did you even begin to develop this love for football?
I spend a lot of my time outside running around, playing with friends. Football was one of the things we would do just to spend time. And then we started taking it a little bit more serious, playing with school teams from primary and secondary school. We started a team, an all-females team that won a lot of the secondary school tournaments at that time. And it started opening doors and really opening my eyes to a different world that I didn't necessarily see before. Eventually led to club teams and to the national level, where I'm just so passionate about getting better and improving on a personal level, and then as well working with my teammates to achieve particular goals to see where that could take us. And a lot of that was just the love of the game.
I know that we're on the topic of football. I know one issue that keeps coming back up in terms of women's football is the lack of resources. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about this, and, you know, what do you think are ways that that issue can be addressed here in Barbados?
Start your day with the Nation News e-paper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News e-paper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
It's a little upsetting and sad to see, especially from so close, where I know a lot of the players are continuing out of pure love and passion just for the game. It's a little hard to continuously put your time and effort and your own personal resources into something and not see a pathway for it to grow into something else. Some people will try to find that on their own and will invest in themselves with personal coaches or do whatever it takes to try to get them outside to get more exposure, but then it's still so limited or disheartening, because what ends up happening is that, for example, we don't get a lot of 11-a-side, full-sized, full-team games. So the experience and the exposure that players will get in Barbados is not necessarily to the level of their competitors. And then you see that disparity clearly when they face up against the other teams. And it's not that the passion is not there. It's not that the ladies don't necessarily want it. But I feel like they aren't taken seriously enough very often, or given the same resources or effort to see where they can really go, because the ladies have a good fighting chance. They've shown that a good few times, and I hope that the more we speak about it, the more resources will be applied. We keep seeing a growing interest, and so hopefully that will result in more games for the teams to build their exposure and build on themselves so that we can take it to the next level.
So let's shift gears a bit from football back to dancing. You were a well-known soca dancer and also a prominent member of Masha Mantano's Monk Dancers. How did you become a part of this, and what did it feel like, you know, to be a part of something so magnificent and so special? What was that experience like for you?
To me, that all started from the first dance class. I used to say, I am just doing school and doing everything else just to prepare myself for when Marshall or Rihanna come and takes me on tour. So we got one down. Just working on the next one, you know, waiting on the next one. But that time, it was just important for me to be ready for when that opportunity arose. And so I felt like I did all the training I could in Barbados at the time. And so I think I went to St. Vincent first with some Rhythm Tribe members. We ended up teaching. I also went to St. Lucia somewhere in there. Then we ended up in Trinidad, and we took like 14 dance classes in a space of 2 weeks. Just training back to back to back. And that was really all I intended from the trip. Went with a friend. But in that same space, we ended up meeting a lot of the dancers from their network. And I was just at a fete, deep in the bar, and somebody recognized me and was like, "You come up." I was freestyling to a song I had never heard before. I was really just enjoying the moment. And that video kind of went viral. They called me back like a week later and asked if I wanted to go on tour with them. And now this is like year 8, I think, of touring with the Monk Band. A dream again that I could not put into stepping stones, but kind of showed itself at the highest level where I really can't complain. I get to travel very frequently to different spaces I've never been in before to either perform or to teach dance or something related to carnival, and taken care of and honored in a way. That's a pretty great feeling.
You can remember what song it was that you had danced to?
Don't play that.
Nice.
Yeah, it kind of became my solo on tour for a little bit after that.
So could you name at least two memorable shows that you performed at with the group?
There was a sold-out show in Barclays. That's a big stadium in New York. So to fill up Barclays, to look up and see people all up in the nosebleeds, cheering and singing and dancing and waving with you and feeding off of that energy and paying it back to you, that was a great one. That was a big one for sure. And then there's so many, We danced on BET. There was a BET Awards in LA that sometimes you even end up on stages with artists like Neo, Method Man, Usher, Ashanti, French Montana. You end up interacting in passenger spaces with so many big artists. That would be my two biggest ones, I would say, with Monk. And then aside from that, Rhythm Tribe performed on Wendy Williams' show in New York as well one time. So we all went up from Barbados to represent on that one. And then we danced halftime with Brooklyn Nets. They came to Barbados and did an audition, and they ended up taking up a few dancers. And yeah, those will be my top performances.
Do you remember which year you guys performed on BET?
I do not. I would have to search.
Yeah, because I wanted to go back and look at the performance. Yeah.
It was an awards in the celebration for BET. I don't want to lie to you.
So we can switch gears again, because I know, well, I'm not sure if it is still your name on Instagram and Twitter, but the Woke Up Scientist, that was a big one on, well, X. Don't let me say Twitter, on X. Mm-hmm. Woke Up Scientist, because in everything that you do, you are also a scientist as well, a published scientist at that. So tell us how that came to fruition.
Well, as I said, I was doing my studies until the big people come and take me on tour. And that led to me doing an undergraduate study at UWE in biochemistry. Mm-hmm. There I met my now supervisor for my master's, Nikolai Holder, and he was doing research on organic material and converting it to biogas, mm-hmm, for renewable energy studies. And so I did a research project with him, and that grew into where we're at now.
Okay. And you also did a research, now stick with me, guys. This name is scientific, and I'm not a scientific person, but stick with me. It's called The Influence of the Substrate to Inoculum Ratio, Species Variations, and Biomass Density on the Ultimate Methane Potential of 13 Tropical and Subtropical Grasses.
That's correct.
Yeah, that was good. Yes. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, so tell us about that research that you did. What was that about?
So break it down. The substrate to inoculum ratio talks about the substrate is the biomass, so in this case, it was the grass. Mm-hmm. And the inoculum would be the juice that contains the microorganisms that break down the grass, the organic matter, to produce methane gas and digest it, which is a fertilizer under anaerobic digestion.
Yeah.
It's a lot worse. And so the substrate to inoculum ratio was particularly interesting to study because as they vary, they affect the methane potential from each. And then the biomass density was important to us to focus, because you would see bush at the side of the road and just see it as bush. But in like a cubic square of grass, we found that you could find like 13 different types of grasses. Mm-hmm. You got the Barbados sour grass, you got couscous, you got sugar cane, and each one of them had a different methane potential. Mm-hmm. And so we studied it specifically to figure out a scale, essentially, of if I had a certain area of, say, like golf course grass, and I had to cut it at a certain maturity, how much methane gas could this amount of grass produce? And that methane gas could be used for cooking, it's natural gas, it could be converted to electricity, it could be compressed for transport. And so to scale how much this grass would produce Barbados for methane gas for a certain amount of time, for example.
Interesting. And I know Ashida's gonna wrap us up soon. But one thing that came to my mind in all of this, how do you even do it all? You do a lot. I mean, even the traveling from the dancing, like how do you manage to still, you know, like survive and thrive? How do you do it?
I've been doing that for a long time, to be honest, juggling a lot all through my childhood up to now. To be honest, a lot of it is just managing and honoring things that bring me joy. Mm-hmm. And each part of that I cater to a little bit in a different way, depending on what I might need at the time. And honestly, they repay me each time. So every time I get to teach one-on-one with a student, and I see them grow in that space, that's a gratifying feeling for me in itself. Every time I get called to like Switzerland or Germany to teach a dance class as a little piece of my culture, that's another big win for me and the culture by extension. And just honoring things that make me happy. So it doesn't ever really feel like work or stress. I still have to listen to myself and take some rest in between and recovery so that we can do it for a long time. But it makes me feel good. So it's easy to do.
That's beautiful.
Nandi, as Diara said, you've done it all. You dance on the big stages, you play football locally and internationally, and you're a published scientist. So what does the future hold for Nandi Yard?
Mm-hmm. Great things, I hope. With respect to the studies, I'm now doing my master's in renewable energy, so continuing from the research mentioned before. Mm-hmm. With respect to football, I intend to go back to trials, but for right now, I've been working with a personal coach on high performance, gym work, personal work with the ball, as well as I play with the guys as often as I possibly can, whether it's over 50s or the young boys. I just going out to get a run. We'll see where that takes me on the end of football. I just enjoy the ride there. And with respect to dancing, right now, I could say on the cards, I have like bookings for Germany and other Europe tours, as well as the US, and some performances amongst the Caribbean, along with some new carnivals. I'm slowly taking off the bucket list. So fulfilling more bucket list dreams.
I wish you all the best in your endeavors, for sure. And we thank you for joining us here on Nationwide. It was a pleasure speaking to you and finding out more about Nandi. And we also want to thank our viewers for tuning in. And if you want to check out this episode and more, tune in to our YouTube channel, our website, and any platform where you listen to your audio podcast.